Hey, hey, y'all. Welcome to Friendship Frequency. I'm Tab.
And I'm Aaron.
This is a podcast where we talk about our real life struggles and the journey that we're on to improve ourselves for better every day. We get real, we get vulnerable, and we talk about what works for us. Join us in this, and hopefully we bring some value to you guys. Tonight's episode is all about finding forgiveness. Yeah. So if you're anything like me, that is definitely something that I struggle with. So why not? Let's get real. Let's get vulnerable. Let's talk about it. Go ahead and kick us off, Aaron.
Wow. Gonna lead right into that, huh?
No pressure, yes. Buddy. No pressure.
I mean, I guess for me, like, I guess we can start with understanding forgiveness, and kind of what the meaning is of it and some misconceptions surrounding it. You know,
what does forgiveness mean for you? Let's start with that.
For me, it is something that I've learned through, you know, my journey in recovery, is that forgiveness is for me, so I can have peace in mind. You know, because I've carried resentments, you know, because, you know, things will lead into resentments, and then I can carry that on and let it control my everyday life. And it's miserable when that happens. So I learned early, or through my recovery, that forgiving somebody, I don't need to be okay with the situation, but forgiving them so I can move on and be over that and not carry it with me. So that's really been huge for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, there is nothing about this episode that I don't feel called out about. I'm just going to put that out there right now. I literally struggle with this. Probably this is one of my deep-seated struggles. Everybody's like, oh, forgive, forgive. And I'm like, how? How? Tell me the steps. How? For me, you know, through this journey, I'm learning that, yes, forgiveness is for us. It is not for the other person. And it is hard, and it is work. It's taking back your power and not giving the other person, whatever the situation is, not giving the other person the ability to control your emotions anymore. Right. And listen, y'all, let's be real. If you have a temper like mine, oh dear, listen, we pray a lot on forgiveness. I'm just saying, we pray a lot on forgiveness. And, but I think you're right as far as the, you don't have to be okay with what happened in the situation, but you do have to find something that you can let go of and just remember that it's not about excusing what happened. It's about letting it go so it doesn't have the power to control you anymore. It's right. As hard as it is, y'all. It's so hard.
But I think the more that you can learn to do that, it becomes easier.
Yes. And I agree. It is not a one and done type situation. It is a, sometimes for me, y'all, hourly practice, daily for sure. But every time the situation, you remember something or something comes up or brings you back to that situation, it is, that is your opportunity to practice that forgiveness. And as they say, turn the other cheek or don't react negatively. And listen, if you struggle with it, just know you are not alone. You are not alone. You're not alone. Yeah. So,
I mean, rent, we all know rent's expensive nowadays, so we can't be letting people rent space in our head for free, you know?
That part.
Right.
That part right there.
Start charging them asses.
That's what, listen, if that was the case, y'all, listen, I'd be loaded. Loaded. Just saying. How do you feel like holding on to that resentment and holding on to those emotions? Like, how does that affect you on a daily basis? Like, what does that feel like for you in the situations that you, you know, have had to work through?
Yeah. I would say, like, the times that I can't let something go, that day is pretty rough, or it could be a month, depending on how long I want to hold on to that bitch, you know?
Yeah.
The sooner I can let it go, you know, the sooner everyday life or life just gets easier, you know? I mean, it could, I've held on to stuff for months and months, years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, now it's, when something triggers me, like, I recognize it and I'm able to, you know, whether I say the serenity prayer or something, I can't control other people. I can't control people, places, or things. So as soon as I can, you know, accept the situation for what it is, the quicker I can move on and life be much happier.
He makes it sound so easy, y'all. He makes it sound so easy. And I'm just going to assume that it gets easier. Listen, like, I'm new in the forgiveness journey. Like, let's be real. I'm super new in it. And, you know, I find myself going a few steps forward and then something will happen or something will come up that I have to work through emotionally. And it can bring me right back to that spot. Mm-hmm. And I can be just as mad, just as hurt, just as angry. And like, it happened yesterday. And it's that, like you said, that stepping back and recognizing it, I think is the biggest, for me at least thus far, has been the biggest thing that I could do. And then just kind of literally sifting and sorting through each emotion and each little thing. So yeah, that's, we'll get there, y'all. For those of us that struggle, we'll get there. We'll be on that level. Don't worry. We'll get there. So is it, on the days that it's rough for you, do you feel like it's, you know, everybody calls it a weight. Like, do you feel like you physically feel like a weight is on you on those rough days?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like a sickness.
Yeah.
Like, because when you're stuck in your head steaming over a situation that you can't control, you know, look, people, places, and things are always going to be there. The only constant is yourself. And the only thing you can control is how you react to a situation. So it's a sickening weight on my shoulders and in my own head if I decide to carry that. And I'm not perfect. I carry some stuff. Like, my relationship with my mom is pretty tumultuous, you know, like, it's weird, you know, because my mom is like my first love.
Yeah.
And yeah. So like, when she does something, it just like triggers something in me. And, you know, it's not her fault. You know, she does the best that she can. But there's those triggers in myself from long you know, from being a child, that it hits them triggers and I'll hold on to that and not let it go. But the sooner I can let it go, I could be at peace sooner.
Isn't it ironic too, that it's, at least for me, and it may be different for you. For me, the ones that I hold the hardest resentment towards are probably the people that I love and care about the absolute most.
Right.
Like, whoo, like your mom. Yeah. Same. Right. Same.
Mom, same. I hope you're not watching this, but I hope you are.
We love you, Mama Windhorn, no matter what. We're working right through it. Don't worry. I'll pull them through.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, it's ironic, but it makes sense at the same time. Like same with my mother. My mother, for those of you that don't know, what died from drug addiction and alcoholism. And literally there was a point in my life that anytime anything went wrong in my life, it was her fault. And I blamed her and the anger and just, I mean, I could have stubbed my toe on the corner of the bed in the middle of the night, y'all, and it was her fault. And it literally played in my mind. And it just, yeah, that weight is heavy.
Right.
Heavy and suffocating if you let it be. Absolutely.
Exactly. So what do you think some stages that you go through when you're seeking forgiveness?
Aaron was not supposed to ask me questions, y'all. I was supposed to ask Aaron questions. Just want to point that out.
That wasn't the deal. We're going on the cuff here, remember?
Gosh.
Some denial, some anger, some bargaining.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Some acceptance.
When she was alive, I would have done anything. I would have... In my mind, I believed that if I got straight A's and I had the house clean and I did all these things and I was the perfect child and the perfect daughter and the perfect everything, that it would somehow pull her out of her addiction and that she would come back and be a mom. Hmm. So in my mind, that was the bargaining. If I do this, will you please do this? Or if I act this way, will you act this way? Again, that whole, you know, you can't control what other people do. Or then it, as I got older, it became, does she not love me enough to be sober? Am I not good enough? Am I not whatever she wants? And it obviously had nothing to do with me. But as a, you know, when you're going through it, you don't know that. Before all of the self-development stuff, I didn't know any of that. The anger, oh my Lord, the anger is still something I struggle with today. And I know it now. I didn't before, but I know it now because it will come out in other situations that are not nearly as severe as the situation with my mother, but like even with friends that I've gotten to little arguments or tiffs or whatever, like I respond, they'll do something that bothers me. And I responded like just boom, blank, out of anger. And I've had to eat my words a lot. I've had to say a lot of apologies because of that. And acceptance with my mom, when I finally got to a place, and I'm still working on it, y'all, don't get me wrong. But when I finally got to a place where I could accept who and what she was, I forgave her and understood that she had to fight her own demons and that was her addiction, and it had nothing to do with me. But once I finally accepted that and understood it, it put me in this place of just outright missing her. Just missing her and missing her for my kids because she never got to see my kids grow up. just, I mean, even now, like thinking about it, just, I miss her. Regardless of all the anger, regardless of all the everything, the trauma, whatever, I just miss her. And there were some really hateful things said between her and I. And I would, out of anger, and I would give anything to be able to take those back. But you live and you learn, right? Like that, that's the main thing, is you live and you learn. But the stages of it, oh my God. Like even now there could be something that happens and I go right back to being mad at her again, you know, or anybody for that matter. I think it's anger is probably my, when you piss me off, good God. And it's getting better, y'all. It is getting better. I'm not psycho anymore. So yay. Praise Jesus for that.
you better watch out.
Says Aaron.
I just always go back to that conversation we had a while back about taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of always hits.
Yeah. I had to learn that. I had to learn the, if I can take care of me and worry about me, then I don't have time to worry about what everybody else is doing. But y'all, you couldn't have told me that 6 months ago. Like anybody that was in my life, I had to, everything had to be, you know, check the list off, because you couldn't have told me that. And now I go at people with a place from my intention of love and the, with zero expectations. That way I just don't, whatever happens, happens. Like right. There is no disappointment or anger or any of that. Like that's probably been a number. That's like been a huge tool for me, is the zero expectations. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that key right there is pivotal. I can't even pronounce it. Pivotal.
In there you go.
Anyday life, like not having expectations. Because, you know, I can remember loaning people money and just holding massive resentments because I never got paid back. Like, how dare you? So I just turned it around to, if somebody asks to borrow money and I'm able to do it and I feel like doing it to myself, it's a gift to that person.
Yeah.
So that way that if I don't get that money back, that resentment's not going to happen. Of course, I'm not going to tell them that I'm giving it to them, because then, I mean, most people are selfish. They're going to keep that money. But yeah, yeah, I mean, it's simple things in life that can get us to a point where we don't have to get those huge resentments.
Yeah.
And then have to forgive people. So.
Yes. Yes. What about empathy?
I struggle. I think this,
go ahead.
I struggle with the word empathy. Like,
yeah.
To me, it means kind of like understanding the other person's situation, like where they're coming from. That's would be my definition of it. And something I kind of learned throughout life, and it's all a journey. Like I didn't just wake up one day and just discover all these tools in my toolbox to, you know, have forgiveness, but I would say it would be keeping an open mind and understanding other people's perspective. Like we don't know what other people are going through. I remember a situation I was going through before I decided to get healthy. I would go through McDonald's. I'm there trying to order breakfast early in the morning on my way to work. And I want my sausage, egg, and McMuffin and hash brown. And this car in front of me stops before the window where he pays, and he's just sitting there. And I honk on my horn, and I put my head out the window, and I said, "What's your problem?" He goes up to the window. I go up to pay. And the cashier says, "Hey, the guy in front of you paid for your meal. Said he just hoped you wish you had a good day."
Oh, and I felt
like the biggest asshat in the world.
Dude, like 2 inches tall. You're like, oh my God.
I felt like that.
Literally. Oh, like, God.
I mean, if we just step back for a second and always not be in a rush and just consider other people's perspective or whatever they're going through. Yeah. You know, for me, that's kind of huge. Like, cause yeah. I don't want to feel like that aunt anymore.
Serious. I've never had that happen to me. I've done it for other people, but I've never had it happen to me. And you mm-hmm. hear about it, you know, especially I think you hear about it more often now than you do,
yeah.
you know, than you did back in the day. Dude, oh yeah. I would have been like sick, like just right. sick to my stomach. Oh, I mean, that would have been rough.
Paying it back, you know, a good feeling in the world, you know. And
yeah, for sure.
So I didn't feel such like a big asshat in that situation. I paid for the person behind me's meal. You know, so I did.
You fixed your karma like instantly.
Exactly. I gotta wayside this. So I kind of, right? after that, I kind of made it on a mission. Like if I was going to Starbucks or something like that, then I would just randomly pay for the person behind me's order.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, they're like, "Oh, it's $30. I was like, pay
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's the point of it though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's the purpose behind it is to just pay it. So yeah, I agree. I think for me, empathy is in certain situations, I have no problem like understanding where someone's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
In other situations, again, I think I struggle with this depending on what the situation is and mm-hmm. even who the person is. You know, I like to believe that I have a very open mind and am accepting of a lot of things. But there's that word, but it is difficult for me to find empathy for other people depending on what the situation is. And that's still something I am working on now. It's, yeah, it's hard. It is hard. And I don't know I don't know if that's a cultural thing. I don't know if it's just a me thing. Like there is some deep seated, like, I mean, stubbornness going on in there, y'all. Like it is, whoo. It can get deep, like, and then of course the stories that I tell myself in my head, I'm like, okay, like calm down. It's not that serious, but you know, I definitely am getting better. I definitely, you know, can stand on 2 feet and say, yeah, I'm working on that for sure. You know, I want to be in a place where I can understand, and I think if you understand or you can get to a place where you can understand, it makes it easier for that forgiveness to come through.
Yeah.
You know, I think with my mother, for example, the biggest thing I struggle with is how are you a mom and did what you did? Like that's right. where I struggle. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, but I think the whole empathy thing is, again, it's not for them. It's so you can see their point of view or their side of things or just be accepting
yeah.
of the situation.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll get there. I'll get there.
I am not perfect.
One thing about it is, like, this is not a journey that you can just, you can't just give up on it. Listen, y'all, I've tried. No. I've tried.
It's all hard. It's all work.
Yeah. I've tried the whole put it in a box, put it up on a shelf, and don't ever touch it again, and act like it never happened. I've tried that. It doesn't work.
But it keeps coming back, right?
Exactly. It keeps coming back, and it comes back, and you end up hurting the people that are closest to you and that you love the absolute most.
Right.
Jason, God bless him, my husband. Contrary to people's popular belief, Aaron and I are not married. But my husband, Jason, he has been the receiving end of quite a bit of that. And God bless him that he is the patient man that he is. We will just say that. And God bless me for being the patient woman that I am. Let's be real. Just saying.
Right.
What about forgiveness and self-love? How do you think those two coincide with one another?
I mean, I think they coincide perfectly, because it's like, if you can get to a place where you're able to forgive, you know, that forgiveness can apply to yourself too.
There you go.
Not just others. So, you know, forgiving yourself for, you know, whatever, you know, like I've mentioned before in other episodes about being an alcoholic and a drug addict, and being able to forgive myself for the stuff that I put others through, or the way that I treated myself. And, you know, in turn, when you can get to that place, then that self-love comes back. Cause when you can start working on yourself, that self-love comes. And,
forgive yourself, y'all. That is, listen, nobody sitting in this podcast or listening to this podcast or watching, there is not a single person in this world that doesn't need some sort of forgiveness for something. None of us are perfect, as much as we all would love to be and even may portray ourselves to be on social media or whatever the case may be. We are not. Forgiving myself has just been, dude, rough. I've had to forgive myself for not being the parent that I wanted to be at times, for not showing love the way that I wanted to at times, for, I mean, you name it. I probably need to forgive myself for it, let's be honest. But in doing that, it gave me the ability to, I think, understand myself better and where I was at that time in my life and what I needed to go through to grow, to be a better parent, to be a better wife, to whatever the case may be. But I had to find that forgiveness for myself, because when I didn't, and when I carried the weight of the world on my shoulders, I failed every day. There wasn't days where it was like, oh, you did a great job today. When I was carrying that, it was, you should have done this, you should have done that. Like, the negative self-talk was so overwhelming that it just put me in this dark hole, and I literally could not find a way out. And it just compounded every day. It was such a ugly, vicious cycle.
Yeah. And once we're in that hole, it's very hard to dig ourselves back out.
Yeah.
Or we may not have the tools to figure out a way to get out of that hole.
Yeah. I didn't until this last few years, the probably the last three, almost 4 years, until I started finding out that, number one, I wasn't alone, mm-hmm. that there were other people that went through similar battles just like me. And number two, that self-forgiveness was even a thing. Like, I thought you just had to carry that forever. Like, I thought that, again, I thought that was normal. So, yeah, like, listen, nobody's perfect, y'all. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to backtrack. We're all going to say something we shouldn't, do something we shouldn't, whatever the case may be. But you have to give yourself grace, and you have to find that forgiveness for yourself so you can start to dig out of that tunnel, out of that hole. Like, that is the, if you leave here today with anything from this podcast, please forgive yourself. Whatever it is, please just give yourself grace and understand that what you did at that moment is what you thought you needed to be doing. And move on from there and do better. Just do better. So, yeah, self-forgiveness, y'all, that's that by itself could be a whole nother topic. Like, that's, whoa, that's heavy. That one is heavy. Yeah.
That whole one almost slipped me this entire podcast. I mean, we're 31 minutes into it, and that self-love.
Oh, dude, I wouldn't have. You crazy? We wouldn't have missed that. I would have hit that. Don't worry. We would have been all over that one.
Well, sometimes I'm a little slow, so. Let's be real.
So now we've talked about the heavy and the just how hard it is to find that forgiveness. Now let's talk about when you do. Mm. And the joy and the healing power of forgiveness and what that does. Because that's, listen, y'all, that's what I look forward to. Like, that's the goal, right? The finding joy in everyday life and everyday situations, that's the goal. That's bringing joy to your life. Everybody needs more joy. Let's get there together. Tell us, Aaron, what does it feel like once you forgive?
I mean, it feels amazing. It's a burden lifted off my chest. I don't have this weight of 100,000 pounds on my shoulders every day. You know, it's so empowering to be able to get to that point because for me, I found so much peace in my life. When I was able to get to that point of forgiveness for others and myself. And I'm not perfect. I still struggle with it sometimes. So give yourself grace, continue to do, like, I think we really need to give them some action steps in terms of,
let's do it. Give me some action steps, buddy. Give me some action steps.
I was going to look to you to provide some of that. No. Some of the things that, you know, that's helped me. One, you know, recovery. That's been huge for me.
Absolutely.
Just whether it would be, you know, 12 steps, whatever program you decide to do. There's not just alcoholics and programs for alcoholics or drug addicts. There's, you know, Al-Anon, you know, a lot of A's out there. So, you know, personal counseling. I had a lot of counseling growing up. And I did some in my adulthood. And it's a lot of stuff that I already know, but it's stuff that they were able to kind of bring up in my head that, you know, helped me get through that. And I, you know, I'll go back to it. I listen to other people that are experts at it. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and see how other people got to that point.
Yep.
And, you know, just it's a constant effort.
I can tell you in this whole journey so far, one of the most powerful things that I had to do was, well, it was two things really. One, I had to write a letter to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, snot, tears, all ugly cry. It was not attractive. And I had to read it out loud in a therapy session. And the other one was, and probably more powerful than the letter to my mother, I had to write a letter to little me, little girl Tabitha, on where I was as a parent and how I would have protected little Tabitha as a child. And, you know, one of the things that we say is you're most qualified to help the person that you used to be. That was probably one of the most powerful things that I, even thinking about it gets me, that was probably one of, hands down, one of the most powerful things I ever had to do. And I think just journaling in general, like if you're like me, like I have a whole lot of just thoughts and they don't even make sense, y'all. If I like said everything out loud that comes into my brain, like I'm sure there'd be a jacket and some padded walls somewhere. But like just journaling it out, whether it's just a little scratch sentence or a thought or whatever, journaling it out, having someone that is further along in their journey, i.e. Aaron, and can kind of help you navigate and not necessarily solve the problem for you. That's not what I mean, but navigate you to maybe the right resources or to just bring up a different perspective and have you look at the situation differently than how you've looked at it for so long. That's always super helpful. Aaron and I like can, Aaron has been such a huge, just everything for me as far as that goes. The meditation is huge. I think that's prayer. And this is not, listen, your God is your God. I'm not saying that. Whatever deity or whatever you choose to, higher power, whatever your higher power is, I support you 100%. I pray about it. And for me, that has been huge. And just being able to have that time with myself and my higher power and to be able to get those thoughts out and, you know, have that conversation per se, that's been huge. And also, I had to get to a place where I was okay with like speaking to the people that it involved. And that's hard, y'all. Like,
right.
That's hard. But sometimes, if you're like me, the story that I'm telling myself in my head is not what actually really happened. So sometimes speaking to the other person clears up a whole lot of mess and confusion. I'm just saying.
Right.
But
communication.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And I think, you know, you and I.
Are you about to talk about our fight?
No,
okay. I'm not.
But you and I are in a good spot, good opportunity with our side business because, you know, our side business focuses solely on personal development and Mattel a little, get a little vulnerable here because
that's what we do, friend. Let's go.
Right. So the company brings in Joseph McClendon III. He, you know, is a highly sought after neuropsychologist. And
shout out JM3.
Right. he walks you through these exercises. And I've been to a couple of the events, and we just went to one. What was it, December?
Yep.
More.
Epic.
Epic, yeah. No, it was more we went to. Maybe it was April anyway, or something like
yep,
that.
Yeah, whenever anyway, we went. Yep.
We'll go back to that. Joseph McClendon has us do this exercise of reconnecting with your inner child and forgiving your younger self. And the first time I attended the event, I wasn't willing to do that. I didn't want to get vulnerable with people. Like, he either has you get down on your knees and like hug yourself and hug yourself as a child. And I wasn't
willing
to do that.
Y'all. Understand, this is a room of probably 300 plus people all doing this same exact exercise and going through this same exact motions. And Aaron just, he wasn't at that time in his life. He just wasn't willing. And okay, go ahead.
Wasn't willing. And I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
Ready was like huge. But so this last time we went, I told on myself in the beginning of the event saying, you know, I'm here to play full out. I'm going to do this exercise. And I did. I got down on my knees and I cried like a little baby, which I'm not afraid to admit that I, as a man, cried. And it was all filmed. And so I did it, and I just had this huge growth opportunity. I wasn't willing to do it at first. I wasn't ready. But, you know, have the willingness to get vulnerable and look at the things that get you, just whether it's your past or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so... It was amazing experience.
I think people need to understand too, by this point, Aaron is known. Like at this point that we're at this event, the second time where he chooses to play full out, Aaron is well known in our side business. And, you know, by this point he's lost over 100 pounds. He's been celebrated on multiple platforms for that. We've had an event here in our own hometown, and Aaron and I helped host the event along with a few others from our community. So Aaron is well known in our side business, and for him to go through this exercise and allow himself to get that vulnerable. And on top of that, Aaron and I were completely separated in two completely different parts of the room. And we do that on purpose so he can have his experience and I can have mine, and we don't have to worry about the other one. And it is completely filmed. And Aaron is literally in it. Like, and then of course we see each other afterwards, and I can tell his face is swollen and his eyes are all bloodshot, and I'm like, you did it. And he's like, I did it. And of course the tears and the celebration and everything. But I was so proud of you for that. And I know how difficult that was for you, but I knew how bad you needed it too. Like, that was huge. That was huge. And I think it gave other people, because you stood up and said it in the beginning that you were, you know, you just weren't ready and you weren't, you didn't do it the first time. There were other people in that room that felt exactly the same way. And you shining your light gave them the ability to say, oh, I guess it is okay for me to feel that way. So you did a good thing that day, friend. I'm super proud of you for that.
Thank you. I mean, it felt great. It opened up a whole new avenue for me. Is like, all my life I've put up all these walls to protect myself because of being hurt so much. And you know, it's a defense mechanism, but it holds me back in my life, and it holds me back from being able to heal and become the best version of myself. And if I'm not willing to continually put in the work to be that best version of myself, yeah, I can't help other people if I'm not doing it. So
yeah, that part. That's why I'm here, y'all. That's why I continue to do the work. That's why we continue to talk about these things, because you have to go through the dark to get to the light. Mm. And I know how simple that sounds, but if you're honest with yourself and honest with what's going on in your heart and your mind, you have to go through the dark to get to the light. As hard and as ugly as it is, I literally tell myself that every day. And it sucks some days. It sucks real bad some days. But I also know that if I want to help people on the scale that I want to help people on, dude, I got to go through the dark. Got to go through the dark to find the light. Mm-hmm. So you just do it. You suck it up and you just do it. Call me, because it sucks. I know.
I mean, I remember, I look back too in my past and see that I avoided the pain for so long. And it's like I lost my train of thought there, but we have to go through the pain in order to, you know, grow from it. And
yeah,
we can't shut the door on our past. We can only grow from it. So like, no matter the experiences we've all gone through in our life, everybody has them. Those are all learning experiences that, yes, you know, shape us who we are. And, yeah, we can grow from them.
I think the thing is, when I think about the past, like today, I made a post on Facebook. You know, I was cooking earlier in the day and I put on a pot of beans. For those of you that don't know, I am Hispanic, and I'm half Hispanic and half white. And I remember being a little kid and putting on beans with my grandmothers, both of them. And just being able to have that memory, because listen, times were not always great with them women either. Just saying, you know, my parents were my parents for a reason. They went through trauma too. But being able to have those memories that you find that are good memories, that's the thing that I'm grateful for forgiveness. Because I've started to move into this place of forgiveness, it allows me to remember the good things too. You know, I was having a conversation with my friend Brandy the other day, and I was talking about how I could always tell what kind of day we were going to have depending on when the music came on with my mom. If my mom was up and doing her thing and dancing and singing, and y'all, she loved her some Keith Sweat. Listen, to that woman loves some Keith Sweat. We knew if Keith Sweat was playing on the radio, it was going to be a good day. We were going to have a good evening. Yes, she was going to be drunk, but at least we knew it wasn't going to be like crazy drunk. But that, having those good memories, when you can start to move into that place of forgiveness, it opens up those doors to start remembering the stuff. And for a long time, I didn't have that. I did not have that for a long time. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for just the little bit of work that I've done in it. And like I said, continue to do it every day. But now I start to remember the good stuff and the memories that built me, the life lessons that built me. And I'm grateful for that. Super grateful for that.
That's one of the gifts of it, right?
Yeah.
The gifts of forgiveness.
Yeah. And I didn't think there would be any that came out of it, y'all, if I'm being 100% real. That's one of the gifts. And learning to forgive myself so I could show my kids better. Like, as a parent, I talked about this on a different episode. You make mistakes as a parent. And as I learn to forgive myself, it allows me to give that gift of the better version of me, the healed version of me, to my kids. And I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Right.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. So what about for you?
I think the gifts for me would be peace. It's huge for me. And the gift of being able to look at other people's, you know, that empathy, that comes with it. And, you know, it's, I don't have kids. I'm not in a relationship, and I haven't been for a long time. So, I can't talk about the gifts of kids or whatever, but I also, you know, with my parents, I can be able to, you know, sit back and enjoy the moments without having.
But I think that goes burden. Any relationship though, Aaron,
yeah.
Like any, to be able to allow someone to get close to you in general, yeah. You know what I mean? Because if you weren't in that place, you still would have those walls built up. And then, oh my God, you would not have me. Oh,
that's true.
My God.
I wouldn't have Tab.
Oh my God.
Right? That is true.
So I don't think it's just parents and kids. I think any relationship or any allowing people to get close to you for any reason, you know, so that's a huge gift for sure.
Yeah.
I saw this meme or quote or something that said, I'm not healing to deal with the trauma of the past. I'm healing so I can recognize joy when it comes into my life. To me, that, like, dude, mic drop. Phew.
Right. Like, that's awesome.
To be able to get joy out of the little stuff and the everyday moments, like, that's a gift. And I don't think you realize how much joy you really have in your life until you can start to get to that place of forgiveness. So, yeah.
That's so true. I got the saying above my door that I have to look at every time I walk out of my room. It says, "You are loved." A good friend of mine painted that for me. So just know that you are all loved.
Amen. I know that's right. Even on the ugly days, y'all. Even on the ugly days. And there are some. We know that. It's okay. We don't judge.
Right.
Yeah. I think when it comes to forgiveness, I think the biggest lessons I've learned and that I'll take away are, it's not a one and done. It's a continuous everyday practice. And it's something that you really have to work towards every time it comes up. Choose forgiveness, choose empathy, choose joy, choose love. And it's okay to feel your feelings. Absolutely. You got to feel them. You can't stuff them. Trust me, I tried. It does not work. You got to feel your feelings, and then you got to move through that. Don't stay stuck in it. And if you need help with that, don't be afraid to reach out for it. Damn sure don't stay stuck in that hole by yourself. So that's probably my biggest. When I learned that it was an everyday practice, y'all, instead of like a one and done, I know how crazy that sounds, but I literally was like asking how. And then Aaron said, You got to do it every day. Oh, it's not a one and done. Oh, okay. That makes so much more sense now.
Right. It's a daily practice contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition.
See, you see, you see what kind of people I hang out with? He just spit shit out. What about for you? If you could take, what do you want people to take away from this episode? Let's go with that.
I want people to take away that they don't have to stay stuck, that there are ways to get to a point of forgiveness. Because I know the darkness, it sucks. It's life draining. It consumes you.
Yeah.
So I want people to know that there is hope out there and that you can get out of that, but you got to put in the work.
Yep.
And let's be real, I'm lazy. I don't want to do the work, but I do want to feel good. I do want to feel good. So I'm willing to put in the work. So
for sure. Yeah.
I'm not lazy. I'm a hard worker. So
he's not lazy, y'all. I try and get him to be. He's not down for it.
I just don't like to work on myself. Like, that's one thing.
Yeah. But
I do get joy out of it, so I continually do it. Like, nobody wants to look at themselves. But when you can find the joy in making yourself the best version of yourself, it all will follow.
True statement.
Yes, ma'am.
Mic drop. Boom. All right, buddy. That was a... I almost made it through. Almost. Almost right, did it.
You did.
I'm getting there. I'm getting better.
Right. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. Take us out, friend.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate you all. We appreciate your comments, topic ideas. Please like, subscribe, share. If you got value out of this, most definitely share, though.
Absolutely.
So until next week, I am Aaron.
I'm Tab.
And this is the Friendship Frequency. This is who we are, and this is what we do. Have a good night, all. Peace.
Deuces.